are listening live to the PW Torch livecast. Of course, well, maybe you're not listening live. Anyway, I'm Bruce Mitchell. I'm senior columnist for PW Torch. It is Friday, November the 20th, 2015. I just got off the air for VIP members recording the first hour of the Bruce Mitchell audio show, so this is why I'm in deep breath, I guess. We spent the entire show talking about the situation with Charlotte Flair, Ashley Flair, Paige, and the Flair family and McMahon's. For those of you that are VIP members, you'll hear a very spirited discussion between Wade and I. For those of you that are not, the one word I would use to sum it up is cowardly. The situation, lots of cowards, cowardly. Someone who's not a coward at all is the co-host of this show, Travis Bryant. Travis, how you doing?
What's happening, Bruce? Livecast audience, what up? You've never been in a dark alley with me, Bruce, so you've never seen my...
There's all kinds of brave words and, you know, and brave actions. And I guess, you know, doing a podcast is certainly the heights of, you know, manliness. So,
for sure.
That's true. Yeah, I thought that situation. I mean, I think that situation is, you know, I think the idea that Triple H couldn't call his friend Ric Flair and say heads up, or got too busy to, or whatever it was, cowardly. And there's a lot of other things with that. I don't want to belabor the point, but I think this story hijacked Survivor Series. And for the people who are 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, the folks that listen to this kind of show, I definitely think height is not a word. I got to stop saying that because Wade just gets on me like crazy, and he's right.
As he should. But it's not the word that you're trying to say.
Yeah. I don't know what word I'm trying to say, but yeah. So, I do know what word I'm trying to say. Height. So, all right, well, let's switch it over a little bit. Who's your pick to win the tournament Sunday night? Who's your pick for the next WWE champion?
Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I agree. And my bet is Roman Reigns does not turn heel. I think he just wins it.
I think everybody stays. That's me too. I don't think Ambrose turns. I don't think Reigns turns. I don't even think they meet in the finals.
I could see them meeting in the finals, but I have this feeling too. I agree with you. I think that they tease the dissension with Ambrose and all that, and then Roman Reigns beats him. But the better match, if you're going to do Roman Reigns, you're going to do Roman Reigns as the face of your company, as your new hero champion, the better match would be him beating Kevin Owens. So
that's what I'm thinking.
And I don't like how any of this has kind of come down. I don't know that I don't know it gives Roman Reigns needs a strong platform to jump off of, and I don't know this is it. But it may maybe in there we'll see where it goes. I think Roman Reigns turning heel, and WWE does need a good strong heel, but they're not positioned to have one. And Reigns turning heel and joining the Authority, I think it's dispiriting to fans. And so, the fans of the baby.
For the reason where you go, oh, okay, well, I guess the Authority's going to be around for another 2 years.
And they're right. Everybody sees the good guys see them as being right. Roman Reigns looked at everything. He's been fighting that fight, and he couldn't, it makes sense for him to join. He couldn't win any other way. They kept getting in his way. So then he joined up with them, and look, he succeeded.
Yeah, and they would have to do some kind of decent job explaining what changed from the Triple H Roman Reigns interaction from 2 weeks ago to whenever he turned on Sunday.
Yeah,
he'd have to explain something. There'd have to be some kind of catalyst or.
Well, you'd have a 20-minute smug-a-thon between. Between Mr. and Mrs. McMahon and Roman Reigns, but that way, and then who's your lead babyface with no John Cena? Is it Dean Ambrose? I don't buy that. I don't buy Dean Ambrose as a lead heel at this point either.
No.
you know, and they don't, you know. I think Kevin Owens could play the role. I mean, I definitely think he could play the role, but I don't think he would. I don't think that. No, I think he would. I don't think they would. I'll put it like that. So
yeah.
So you know, in this card, what else is on this card?
Well, we have the two matches, the three matches, the two semis and and the final. So that's three matches, and I don't know if New Day is doing anything.
Well, let's talk about Charlotte and Paige just for a second. Will Charlotte and Paige have any more energy and heat based on they were in, you know, the contract signing was the main event of Raw, based on the brawl that they had, and even based on the circumstances of the brawl? Do you think this is, or will this be another, you know, decent to good Divas match that's a semi-main, you know, a semi-main event and carries the same weight that ever since this Revolution started? Do you think it'll still be there, or it'll have more?
There might be a tiny bit more heat with the match, and I don't even, heat goes both ways, but it's going to be with Charlotte. I think people would see her as a sympathetic figure for totally good reasons, but not necessarily see Paige as some, you know, scumbag heel, and how dare you? Ooh, I'm gonna take pleasure in every punch Charlotte gets in, and every figure four, every figure eight. It's small, and it's with the baby face, because people just know, and it's like, oh man, that was, you know, messed up.
Yeah, it could be.
But they're not mad at Paige again, so.
So what's your reaction to the announcement that TNA is now on Pop TV, which is available in a lot more homes?
You know what? That reminds me. I wanted to check to see if I had that station, because I don't get – I have Destination America's on my thing, but I'm not going to go up to that tier.
I don't even know
why they're on any kind of tier that I don't just automatically have with, like, ESPN and, like, you're on the NFL Network tier, like, for real? Destination America, but whatever. So I need to see if I get Pop TV, and, you know, how about that? It's TNA, and Matt Hardy's the champ. Well, he's not the champion anymore, but, man, TNA won't die. They got the right guy in their company with that catchphrase. But, man, they just won't go away.
Well, I don't know the particulars of how much money they're getting, and whether that's a game changer at all or not at all. But I will say this: if you've got an outlet that a lot of people can watch,
you're not paying for the
show, and you can build your audience, there's an opportunity.
Yeah, you know. But it's still TNA, and you know, 13 years of opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get excited. I don't particularly care. I'll come January, I'll see where I am, and if, you know, got nothing to do and thing T-Vote, maybe I'll watch it. Probably the first one, I'm sure, because they'll do something. But still,
I've said this many. Yeah, I've said this many times. At the end of the day, I mean, you need to have the platform, you need to have the outlet, and that's important. But if you've got the content, you can grow. And they haven't had the content that enough wrestling fans have liked and enjoyed to have that growth. Well, here's another opportunity. So I would hope
the press
that
release
working on,
or whatever Pop TV said sounded like, oh, okay. Sounds like they're in. They're all in. You know, good for TNA. Good for that talent.
Yeah. We shall see where things land though Sunday night. I mean, I do think this is an important show. I don't know that. I don't know where the rest of it goes. And you know, we haven't even talked about Undertaker and Kane.
What's
Undertaker and
about?
Kane, you've got a rare Undertaker match, and you've got Kane together. The brothers are together first time on pay per view in years and years, and we don't even know who their opponents are. We've got a vague idea who they are. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, I don't care.
You know, what about the spectacle and, you know, the slaughter?
Whatever,
and all
it'll
that.
Be a match, and Taker and Kane will win. I don't know if they're gonna. Who's gonna? I guess Bray has to take that pin. I don't think they would unless they're just like, all right, enough with this, and in this experiment, this Braun Strowman thing.
Yeah, I wonder if they keep Braun Strowman out of it.
I think it's going to be him and Wyatt, and Bray Wyatt in the match.
Really?
Oh, yeah. What are we going to put? Rowan and Wyatt or something?
The other one, Luke Harper.
Harper and Rowan?
I think Luke Harper in the match. He's the best worker.
They were the one. They got dispatched the easiest on last week.
Well, don't you think it's scary that the Druids got stolen? I mean, the Undertaker and Kane were in just real danger when their own Druids attacked them. I mean, what was that about?
And then they just got beat up.
Yeah, they just got beat up like they were nothing. It was like they'd never done anything anyway. They're just some nameless guys that come out with, oh, no, the Druids turned on them. It was like, so what?
I mean, remember when people, and I think you were one of them, I'm pretty sure you were one of them, were all like, man, that thing with the kids, and he's got the whole world in his hands, when you had all the kids come out and, like, Cena mask, or sheet mask with, like, Cena shirt. I don't remember, but it was against Cena, lead up to their thing. And how, there's no need for that. That's just a spectacle to make, you know. And that was fine. And this is what we get now. I long for the day.
He's
got the whole world in his hands stuff.
As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called pwpodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Chief Pete, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must listen and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com.
All right, let's go to VIP member Daniel. Daniel in Missouri, of all places. What you got for us?
Well, I'm heading to Missouri tomorrow. You're reading my mind. We've got a football game tomorrow. We got to go watch.
I kind of figured that. Oh, that's true. You're leaving Kansas to go to Missouri.
Yes, sir.
Middle of the United States.
There you go. Well, it's flyover country. Everybody thinks of it as all the same. Didn't know if I could. I'd ask you a couple weeks ago. I was going to ask you about the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. I did not watch Raw this week, and I didn't even tape it. And unless I want to like rant about the low class of what apparently was done that I didn't see and don't know anything about, I can't talk much about what's coming up. Although I agree with you, I think Harper's going to be in that match Sunday, because if it was Strowman, they probably would have advertised it, I would think.
Why?
Yeah, my guess is it's Harper and Wyatt, and then, or even Harper and Rowan, and then Strowman does something to Kane or Undertaker where Kane and Undertaker lose the match, and you continue the program. You kind of need to do that, and the idea is Strowman the one to destroy Undertaker, or is Strowman the one to, you know, Strowman goes through Kane to get to Undertaker or something. So that's, you know, based on, or maybe just the Brothers of Destruction just kill everybody, which wouldn't shock me at all. So yeah. Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, what you got?
Well, I had questions on a few people. I'd like to hear both your comments. First of all, I was really pleased to see Nakamura get in on the first ballot. I thought that was well-deserved. I was surprised about Bryan Danielson, and I was really surprised that, like, the current wrestlers voted him so low, and I just didn't know what your thoughts were on that. And then I had a couple other names I wanted to throw out after you guys talk about those, if it's all right.
Well, my understanding is, and, yeah, I was surprised. I thought Nakamura deserved to be first ballot, and then it made sense. And then the deal with Daniel Bryan, you know, with reporters and historians, folks like me, all voting him in. I mean, I think, and I wrote about it, there's a strong case to make for him. I think he's a pioneer of this generation, and he, there's a lot of people following his footsteps. And then he had, you know, he had the run of great matches, and then he had the run of drawing. He had the run, you know, he had the run where he,
right,
where he impacted the very top of the business, and that, to me, that's enough to get you in. But my understanding is his generation of wrestlers are all voting for the generation that preceded them, are voting for Sting, and those types of attractions. And I don't know what it is. I know that there's definitely, I mean, I definitely know about the mixed feelings that that the veterans and the older retired wrestlers have about Daniel Bryan. I mean, I definitely know about that, that it's not just Vince McMahon and Triple H and all that. It's there, but so it really is surprising.
Style or size, Bruce? Sorry.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes if you're in the generation of familiarity breeds contempt, and you're kind of used to them, and you know you wrestle in the same style yourself and all that, maybe that's something. I don't know that I can speak to it really, but maybe that's part of it. But yeah, it was really interesting that didn't come, and I wonder, you know, the memory of WrestleMania that he pulled out of, you know, that he pulled out, that's going to fade in time, and I just see this generation of wrestlers who he's a real role model for in a lot of ways, and I think that's important too.
Yeah. Travis, do you have any comments on that? Or
I'm not surprised he didn't get in on his first go. I mean, if you follow Major League Sports Hall of Fames. Didn't Griffey Jr. get in on his first, or didn't get in? I forget what the deal was with that, but either he did and was like, oh, one of those spots, like, oh, guys, never, that's real tough to get
right
on your first try, or he didn't, and it was like, see, if Kid can't do it, if Griffey Jr. can't get in on his first try. So those things happen, so I'm not surprised one bit. I didn't think about as far as who's voting and why they would, you know, maybe not vote him in, but I'm not. I mean, Bruce, I understand your rationale, but I'm just not sure if he's a slam dunk. I'm not even sure if he gets in next year. It might be a while, and as you said, then that memory fades even further. The memory of WrestleMania 30, but I mean, as much as I like the guy, and as much as I love the guy. He's awesome. But just that one stretch, that's just not sure if that's enough for me. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if and when he does finally get in.
Well, and the other thing is, and I know you write about this a lot, Bruce, but I was looking at the other folks that were close or contenders, and I kind of thought about, well, who did I think was most deserving to get in that didn't? And the names that came to my mind were Gary Hart first, and second, I think Gene Okerlund, and I'm not even, like, I never cared for that WWF product that he was kind of behind, but I think out of announcers, he made such a difference in terms of moving business that those would be the next two guys, and I didn't know if you agreed with that or who you thought was the most glaring omission. I know you'd been in favor of the Assassins who got in this year, and that's what I want to know.
Assassins and Ivan Koloff, I was really happy to see those two make it. I think they're very deserving candidates. Gary Hart, I go back and forth on, and since I go back and forth on him, I don't vote for him. I don't think that I think that you go only with strong candidates. Very influential, a big part of Dusty Rhodes's initial babyface turn. You know, very important there. You know, came up with the Freebirds, and you just sparked the Freebirds and the Von Erichs just about perfectly. Big money run there, and as a booker, and a top level manager in the 70s and a good part of the 80s. But there's also parts where he wasn't that effective, and he wasn't that there. And the other one was, tell me the other
Gene
one.
Gene Okerlund.
Gene Okerlund. Yeah, Gene Okerlund. I think Gene Oakland was very good in the AWA. I think he was very good in the WWF. And then he just became a parody of himself for too many years. And even in the WWF. And, you know, the first few years he was there, I don't know that that puts him over the top. I mean, he's definitely an iconic voice, though. So I understand when people say that. But I just saw too many times with Gene Oakland. And, you know, even during the height of Hulkamania in his first national run, was putting himself over the talent, and I just didn't think that was Hall of Fame worthy.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll let you go. I'm going to be sitting pretty close to courtside Tuesday night if we're fortunate enough to play your arch rival. So if you have any mouthing that we can throw at Carolina while they're destroying us at basketball, I'll wait for your suggestions, but I'll let other people call in.
Yeah, cool. Appreciate that. And I don't know if I did it again, so I'll try this again. While I am doing this, it's worth saying that we are running our dollar special, and you can go to pwtorch.com/govip. Brand new, easier, clearer. Define the option that best suits you to become a VIP member, and there are many options, including just internet, all newsletter, a combination of it. There's all kinds of cool stuff to look at in the figure, and you can use the coupon codes Bruce Mitchell, all one, all lowercase, all one word, or Travis Bryant, if you insist, same thing. So, and that's Bryant with a Y, I believe. Is that not correct? A Y?
Yeah. So is there another way to spell Bryant?
I guess there's not, is there?
No.
Wonder why that is. Okay. I guess it's
not Bryan and Bryan.
Travis Bryan. Yeah, it's not. Don't do Daniel Bryan. Do Travis Bryan. I'm trying to Travis Bryant. I'm trying to confuse people. You know, I have not asked Wade about how this is working out. I have this.
Well, I just got. I was just going to bring it up, and he chimed in on my IM. He says you're ahead, as I predicted. He says you're ahead. He didn't say you're blowing me out or anything. He just says you're ahead. So you're probably up.
No. I need more people to come in. So it's honestly, it's a great. Either way, it's a great deal. I mean, if you've got for 1 month, you spend go on our website. 28 years of current in-depth reporting analysis of wrestling events, and then we cover the history. We cover everything. Wade Keller and actually the whole Torch staff has done a ton of interviews of every major name in the professional wrestling business. You can just go ahead and say that at this point. And you can listen to it. You can read it, transcripts of it.
I've even done two interviews.
There's 25 years of my columns of covering everything. And if you're a wrestling fan, if you are interested in a student of the business, you're gonna get a lot of bang for that dollar. And then we have so many testimonials of folks who come in through the dollar deal, and when they've done that, they've seen the value in becoming a VIP member all the way. And it's proud to say part of this, and it's a great value. And particularly and one thing about wrestling, whether it's up or down or whatever's going on, was up or down in the business, and excitement's there on your television screen, there's always excitement behind the scenes. There's always something that these are volatile people, to say the least. So that's definitely a part of it. Let's go to 478. 478, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
How y'all doing today, Bruce and Trav? Darrell from Georgia.
Darrell, how you doing, man?
All right, I'm doing quite well. Got three questions for you guys. Maybe two. My first question is, I had it in my head. I guess
maybe one.
I go to this one. I go to this one. Without trying to spoil anything for anybody or anything coming up, just an NXT call up maybe. So since NXT is supposedly signing all these people, like a James Storm, maybe a Austin Aries, got a new ready-made babyface and Apollo Crews. Do you think with how they're booking
Finn Balor, that they maybe try to fast track him into coming to coming up to the main roster maybe in January. And this is the situation that I came up with, have him come up in January, build him up kind of big, put a rocket on his back, let him win the Rumble. Maybe that next pay-per-view at Fastlane, you keep him away from the title scene, even though we know he's going to face whoever at WrestleMania. Maybe have him do a one-month feud with somebody, and then after that, then you start building the WrestleMania match, like the Demon coming to WrestleMania or something like that. Do you think that's something that could be? If you look at how they're acquiring talent and stuff like that. Yeah.
Darrell, I'll say this. Last week on Bruce Mitchell Audio, Wade Keller and I talked a lot about that. And Wade is an advocate of exactly what you're talking about, the Finn Balor going, coming to WWE from NXT as a successful champion and then making an impact and going to the top of the card at the beginning. Travis, I kind of interrupted you.
No, I don't see that happening. And I don't see him coming up anytime in the next 6 months, and I definitely don't see him coming up winning the Rumble and headed to WrestleMania. That is kind of absurd. You know, I don't want to be mean, but it's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. I mean, I get it, and I'm not saying the talent isn't there, but it's to think that they're
going apparently, to... Apparently, I can't even pronounce the poor guy's name, and I share a cultural heritage with him. Finn Balor. Wade was an advocate of doing it, and I spent a lot of time saying, well, it's not going to happen, and I kind of thought, I mean, I know he also is hesitant to go to the main roster because he sees what happens with Neville, he sees what happens with Kevin Owens, and you know, he's 180 pounds, and whether he's even allowed to have that cool entrance, and how do you fit that in on every Monday Night Raw? How do you fit that in?
Well, you don't, Bruce. So why do you bring that up about the entrance all the time? You don't. He does it now. So
yeah. That's a good point. All right, that's a good point.
The point.
The point. You got a point on me. That's true. And so they need some new stars. They need something out there, but whether it's going to be something that fits how they see stars. He was brought in to give that great wrestling edge to NXT, and you know, Triple H did an interview with a local to him radio station, and came up with another corporate statement for NXT, where NXT wasn't the developmental league necessarily. It was a niche. If WWE was pop music and really popular in Beyonce, then this was heavy metal music. This was Lemmy, I guess. NXT is Lemmy, I guess, which I was just kind of like, whoa, that's a new one on me. So but anyway, there's Finn Balor. I did it again, Finn Balor. As something that wouldn't necessarily fit into pop music, but would fit in with heavy metal, and I don't know. I still very much think that they spent all that money building up a developmental league, a stronger one, so that they would have new stars that they could feed into Raw and feed into SmackDown. And I don't know that they're quite there yet. So
the foundation of the thing was because they're signing guys like Storm, like. I don't think he said Joe.
Well, that's true. Let's talk about that.
Austin Aries.
I don't know if James Storm is signed. In fact, I don't expect him back. I mean, that could turn out to be different, but I don't expect him back. And then the other, Austin Aries, that would be new to me. That'd be new. And if Austin Aries
going into the Full Sail for the taping.
Right.
So
now, did
and
he
then
do
the
anything?
Blurry picture of huh?
Did he do anything?
I don't know. Darrell said he didn't want to give spoilers. I'm not sure if he heard something. The taping is tonight or was yesterday.
Okay.
So I haven't heard. No, I haven't heard anything. And then there was the blurry picture.
In my own defense,
of,
I had one of those 13-hour days at school, so and then wasn't talking about Austin Aries, I talked about wrestling. But
right.
Yeah,
well, there was a blurry picture of AJ Styles, or people thought it was AJ Styles, and then some people said it was a guy named Elias Sampson or something.
Oh, good Lord! Okay.
But it did.
I think we can wait. We can wait for all that to shake out a little bit. I don't know. I think
like AJ.
I think
AJ
Styles.
But
AJ
booked
Styles
for a Tokyo
City,
show
I,
this weekend, and it was like, wait a second. That unless
you know, do people realize how much money AJ Styles makes with New Japan Pro Wrestling and on his current schedule, and what a pay cut it would be for him to go to NXT? Does anyone like consider that, or what, or how much money WWE would have to pay him to make it worth his while? And then would it be worth it to pay somebody that much money to go to NXT?
They don't think of that, no. And Aries didn't wrestle at the taping. I don't know if he had an interview or was sitting in the front row or anything like that, but he did not wrestle.
Yeah. I think if Aries made it, you know, if Aries gets into the system, I could definitely see him being used in NXT. I would be surprised to see him on the Raw roster. I would be even more surprised to see him used in an impactful way on the Raw roster.
Yeah, and if you are interested in spoilers, they are. You can go to .net, prowrestling.net, and there are some spoilers. Don't tell me, but they are out there.
Yeah. Let's go to 209. 209. You got
before 209 speaks. Sorry, caller. Do you like Dash and Dawson as the tag champs?
Yeah, I do. They're local guys. I've seen them down here. So I mean, I'm actually friends with.
Dawson as the tag champs of NXT? Do you think that's what's good? Not are they your pals?
I don't have any objection to them, no. I mean, I don't have any big problem with them. What's the problem?
I don't know. They kind of stink. Stink's not as harsh, but they. Yeah. I'm not a fan, personally. They just, like, it's the same thing with the, the guys that are with Alexa Bliss now, when they did it. Like, oh, well, these are just lunch bucket, you know, booking kind of, tag teams. Like,
yeah, the boots and trunk guy. And their boots and
prize
trunk
everybody
guys.
And put the title on.
I always like that.
Nobody wants to hear what they have to say or particularly watch a match if you told them, hey, they're going to be on the show. It's like, well, okay. So, and then they did it again with this Dash and Dawson guys.
Wow, okay. I just see them as boots and trunk guys, and I see them pretty solid boots and trunk guys. What I mean by that is they're wrestlers. And that you get a wrestling match, you get a fight, you get a promo about a championship, and they're developing into something. Are they something special right now? I don't know that they're there, but I mean that's the idea of development. To me, they kind of fit the idea of developmental. And I'm buddies with one of them's father-in-laws, even though he's not a big wrestling fan. So there's part of that. But yeah, they're fairly local guys to here.
Boots and trunk guys. How about? I want to watch them guys.
Well, boots and trunk guys are guys that can hold your interest. Can hold your
interest.
I'm telling
you, they don't hold my interest.
Well, then they're not good boots and trunk guys. But boots and trunk guys are so good at
stupid Arn Anderson
owning the arena, at coming in and coming in with maybe a Taz is an example of it in his heyday in ECW. You know, towel over your head. Here comes the fight. That's a boots and trunk guy. There's no, there's not more. There's, they don't need more than that. And these guys are trying to be that and trying to develop in that. And I'm, I'm for that. So
and this goes to and again, sorry, 209. But this goes to your developmental thing. Like guys in developmental shouldn't be scrutinized at this level. Like they should be.
Well, I think they can handle it. I don't watch them and go, I'm embarrassed by that. Boots and trunk guys. The editor's pointing out a couple of boots and trunk guys. Kind of. I mean, sometimes when you've been watching wrestling a long time, you get these arcane examples of things. So boots and trunk guys like Steve Austin and John Cena.
And, you know, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Now, can you develop the personality to go with it? But it's about a fight. You know, it's going to be that. Yeah.
They do have a really all good four, finisher. I will give them that. So.
Yeah. All four of the horsemen weigh. David Von Erich, yeah. I would say that. There's going back a little. All four of the horsemen, David Von Erich. Yeah, there's, you know, the guy that's just come, Bruno Sammartino, the crusher, the guy that's coming out there to fight. That's what he's there for. And those guys. So, you know, and there's a lot of mechanic. I mean, there's a lot of carpenters, a lot of lower level guys that are. Yeah, Nick was cool, but Nick Bockwinkel, the late Nick Bockwinkel, boots and trunk guy. I mean, it was just a towel around your neck. That's what you had, and then so it was your wrestling. And
sure.
That could definitely go.
All right.
Yeah. 209, you've been very patient with Travis Bryant. But we appreciate you on PW Torch Livecast. What have you got for us? State your name and where you're from and all that stuff.
Hey, guys. It's Eric from Stockton, California, VIP member. And you know what, Trav? I should ruin NXT for making me wait on hold for that long, but I'm not going to do that. But I will say one thing, though, is that Austin Aries isn't the only TNA guy circling around NXT. Gunner's also been spotted there.
So,
Gunner.
Gunner.
Another local guy.
Yeah, he's also been around there, too. And they both had their gear on.
Yeah,
I wonder what they like about Gunner.
I wonder how Gunner would do with their health and wellness policy, he said, laughing. So.
Well, I got two things for you guys. So the first one, kind of with the passing of Nick Bockwinkel, I took Wade's advice, and I've been watching a lot of his promos on YouTube with Bobby Heenan. And I do agree that he was pretty much the epitome of a heel promo, but I did notice that there were a few times where he kind of started laughing and smiling while Heenan was talking. And I never got AWA out here in California until they got on ESPN in like 85. And he was a little bit before my time. So I was wondering, Bruce, specifically, or Travis, you know, if you could give me some historical perspective on whether he was that was just his gimmick, the laughing, the, you know, smiling thing, or, you know, him being a cocky heel who laughed at people, or if he was actually kind of breaking character because of Bobby Heenan's promo, which I wouldn't blame him for one bit. And then I have another thing after that.
I'd have to see it, because if it's like a smirk kind of laugh where he's kind of healing, if he's like snickering and really like trying not to like crack up because Bobby's getting all red face and his hair's flying around and all that kind of over the top stuff. That's different. But if he's kind of condescendingly, you know, doing a just in character, but laughing and enjoying the fact that Bobby's putting the guy in his place, I think that's probably was calculated. But I don't know.
I'll say this. And first, I want to say, the president of the Nick Bockwinkel fan club, that sounds like not a lot, but it's a ton. The president of the Nick Bockwinkel fan club, the Bockwinkel Brigade, which was the fan club of its time in the 70s because Nick Bockwinkel was Nick Bockwinkel and kind of the perfect, intelligent, thinking man's villainous wrestler for a smart-ass college student type, and Mick Karch was a smart-ass college student type in Minneapolis at the time. Was on the air yesterday with Wade Keller on the live cast, and I was very sorry I wasn't able to be a part of that. I'm a big Mick Karch fan, but he knew Nick Bockwinkel's career in and out. I'll just say this: I've seen a ton of Nick Bockwinkel, nowhere near as much as Wade has, nowhere near as much as Mick Karch has, but I've seen a ton of him. I've never seen that guy break character. Everything he did that rich, privileged heel that was up against the wall about to get his ass kicked by some deserving babyface who should have been the champion instead of him and snuck his way out of tight spot after tight spot with the help of Bobby the Brain, the Weasel Heenan. I never saw him break character. Everything he did, that character was so imbued in who he was and what he did. And then even when he was, the stories you would hear in public, I'm not saying, even though he was very much a proponent of kayfabe, that he lost his reality. It was just he knew how that guy would act in every situation. And so when the camera was on, when he was in the arena, he became that character. And he knew all the little details to do. And Travis, I'll just say this. I'm glad to hear that 209 has been, took Wade's advice. And go up on YouTube and watch those, because they're remarkably entertaining, even in 2015. And not only is it Nick Bockwinkel really good, but it's Bobby Heenan's best work. I mean, it's just and Bobby Heenan's best manager ever. And so you definitely, a lot of people have seen a lot of reasons why he is, and he was great in WWF and good at times in WCW, but he was just awesome with Nick Bockwinkel, and it's worth seeing. But Bockwinkel, Bockwinkel was cocky. Bockwinkel was, he was put the brave face on the air. He would be outraged that people are mad at him for being a cheater, and he would have a great case for why he was, as a classy wrestling champion, was having to deal with the likes of Mad Dog Vachon, who was going to tear him in limb from limb, and who didn't wrestle, who just, was this backstreet brawler, and that all the AWA, the fans, and the administration, they all wanted the title off of Dick Bockwinkel because they were for truth, justice, and the American way. And so it's really cool to see.
The little bit of stuff that I have seen, either on various tapes and documentaries or whatever, or YouTube, what?
No, you know what? I just put over Wade Keller, and I even put him over hard because I bet I've seen more Nick Bockwinkel than Wade Keller, even though he's from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where Nick Bockwinkel was the AWA champion for all those years. And I'm just saying this to put myself over, because he just sent me a thing after I just plugged the hell out of that. I just plugged the hell out of that interview with Mick Karch, and I'm gonna be listening to it this weekend. I know it's good. I've heard Wade and Mick together before. Particularly talking about, when Vern Gagne died a few months ago, and that was a tremendous live cast, and you can go find that at pwtorchlivecast.com. But anyway, Wade goes, I was sorry I couldn't join them on Thursday. He sends me a text and says, you weren't invited. Now, technically, that's true. But, he didn't have to send that to me during the show. He could have, just let that slide on.
Anyway, Nick always seemed like one of those guys that, as a heel, had always had an infuriatingly, response and reasoning for things.
Yeah, definitely. And you can see through the reasoning there was always that core of BS to it.
Through it totally,
wrong.
But it was still rooted in something.
I
want to
go see you get it.
He figured out. Yeah.
And him. It's also worth seeing him in Memphis talking about, and he's not doing. He's not doing Andy Kaufman. Here's a bar of soap, you southern rednecks. He never uses any kind of derogatory term talking about people in Memphis, but he is so condescending to them. And, it's just, he's got other places to be. He's got places to defend. He can take the Memphis Southern title with him. And, what is he, he's got places to be. And they're just not quite up to snuff to him. And they are tremendous. I mean, they are very funny, but they're also funny in the context of you want to go see the wrestling match. You want to go see Jerry Lawler kick his tail. You want to go see Mad Dog Vachon tear him from limb to limb. And and Heenan's just a little bit scummier. Heenan's just a little bit more of a cheater. And you can see Heenan's a bad influence on the guy too. And that's pretty cool. But I'm sure. Karch and Wade, that was and Nick Karch was close to Nick Bockwinkel for decades, and so I know he must have done a good job with
209 had one more thing, Bruce, don't forget him.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so now my other thing is kind of like along the lines of heels. It seems that a pretty vocal portion of the fans cheer heels, and sometimes some cities more than others, and some heels more than others, of course. Like Owens and Rollins, before he got hurt, they got a pretty significant amount of cheers, and even Alberto Del Rio gets his pop. But what do you think would be an effective way to turn somebody in today's, given that a lot of fans tend to cheer the heels, what do you think could be an effective way to turn somebody to get them to generate that kind of nuclear heat that Nick Bockwinkel had. Because, I mean, he was on fire. I mean, I just hear the crowd reactions to him, and there wasn't a person in that building that was cheering for him. You couldn't possibly cheer for him.
Well, the first thing I think you'd have to stay away from the thinking of individual segments or individual promos to get that heat, because you can't. Okay, let's go out there and talk bad about the soldiers or cancer patients or something that you can't think in those terms. It has to be like Jericho's heel turn in 08. Where that was just where he made a concerted effort. I'm not going to give these people anything, nothing, not a furrow of my brow to give them some kind of hope of that I'm a cool guy worth clapping for. It has to be an entire attitude and character.
Yeah, you have to have a guy that's erection. A standard. And a lot of people say,
we're going to go out there and we're going to say this about this city or this, whatever, one into or individual segments and promos. It has to be an entire dynamic, character dynamic thought out.
Yeah, I think a couple things. One of them is it's a different business. There was a core of fans, there was a lot of fans back there, back in that time, who could get so wrapped up in wrestling that either they talked about it all the time like it was real, or they were caught up in the emotion of the show, where for the length of the show, at least the length of the main event matches or the length of the match that Nick Bockwinkel was in, they believed everything that the characters were telling them, communicating to them, and so that just doesn't exist anymore. There's much more of this is a performance, but I would just say. I would say what you do is you have a character that's strong in being nasty and heelish and a coward and not that was dangerous, but dangerous in the would stab you in the back as soon as you turned your back, but would not face you front to front. Kevin Owens has some of that. He doesn't have enough of it, and then the platform he's standing on isn't strong enough in a lot of ways. But I very much believe it can be done, and I very much believe a good heel. The other thing is not be worried too much about the reaction of the fans that appreciated it. Just play the character. And play the character to the cheap seats and to the casual fans, and let the fans that aren't casual or let the fans that are heel fans do what they're going to do as long as they buy a ticket. They're buying a ticket, they're in good shape. They're buying that ticket, then that's all right. The fan reaction is important. But if they're pouring some energy into the match and making for a better show, that's what you want. But I think that as far as that really great heel, it's going to have to be somebody where the company and the performer is just focused like a laser beam on being a heel in all ways and doing the little things and the big things to be that heel and not being seduced by crowd cheers, not being seduced by anything.
I'm 24 minutes in to the first episode of Jessica Jones, right? And knowing
Kill Grave the Purple Man, right?
Yeah, I don't know the characters. I kept asking my buddies, okay, so what's her gimmick name? What's her hero name? And it was like I asked like the dumbest thing ever. Like Jessica Jones is in her. Like she's got to be like Bird Lady or something, right? Like, because I'd never heard of a friggin' Jessica Jones until yesterday. I saw the commercial. But knowing how Daredevil went and how those characters were so well written and so flawed, even the baby faces and the heels were endearing at some points. I watch these kind of shows and the shows that you guys like, the Anarchies and stuff, and they would understand that or have a better grasp of what their audience expects from, or not expects, but what their audience sees in other heels and baby faces.
Yeah, I would
they had
say
some
a lot
idea
of,
shows, of like how things were, how this last 10 or 15, but definitely like 8 or 10 years of television has been widely acclaimed as like the, you know, golden age of good hour drama TV shows.
And all these dramas, I mean, you can name them from Breaking Bad to, you know, my favorite, S.H.I.E.L.D. and Justified, had great heels. So you can still play a heel. Everybody knew they were watching a TV show. You can still play a heel in a wrestling arena. I think it can be done. I just think it hasn't been done, and people have forgotten how to, and people have kind of forgotten what it takes, but it's going to, you know.
Which means when you do it, it's going to be gangbusters and make a lot of money when you finally get back to just normal storytelling and character development. It's going to be like, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing. And people are going to be like, okay.
I'm a believer that heels in WWE, I mean, Seth Rollins is the example, but heels in WWE suffer from the authority on them, too. The authority is bigger than they are, and that's as heels, and that's on there. Don't forget to go to PWTorch. Let me get this right. I'm going to get killed if I'm not. Where is this?
PWTorch.com/GoVIP to sign up?
Yeah, PWTorch.com/GoVIP. Bruce Mitchell, all one word, for $1 for a month. Trial membership. Travis Bryant. Wade said to remind people that Travis Bryant is one word here. I'm not sure.
I think that's the reason why I'm like two behind you.
You think that's the reason? I like saw that on the text. And I'm like, I can't even get the joke here. What?
Well,
what my name?
People are just
my name sounds like one word. Bruce Mitchell
Travis
sounds like one word. Travis Bryant, same
Bryant.
Way.
Yep, and they're just not getting a deal, and they go, "Ah, screw it, Bruce Mitchell." Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's Wade's thing, Joker.
I don't get it. But anyway, go to use Bruce Mitchell coupon code because I don't want to hear from Travis Bryan if I get beaten on this. I don't think that would work well. I will say this about Jessica Jones and any of these TV shows. You should be able to watch it without having read the comics. You know, and the comics are tremendous. Brian Bendis and Alex Miley, they are.
Oh, yeah, I didn't really read the comics. I'm sure I'll enjoy it.
Yeah. But having said that, the show should be good, and you should be able to, like, pick up exactly what's going on without a whole. I'm a big believer. You don't hear me push comics on people very much because there's so much backstory you have that they have shot themselves in the foot by doing. It's connected into the universe of Daredevil. I know you thought Daredevil was a great show, and I did too. So it's like that's what's getting there. And I will say this. I'm a Luke Cage guy, so when Luke Cage shows up in Jessica Jones, I'm going to be very happy to see that. I go all the way back. That's a character I go all the way back to the early 70s with, to their origins. Let's move to another caller. Let's go to our friend Jason in Australia. We always we seem to end the show, Jason, with you.
I appreciate that, Bruce, and good evening to you guys over there, and also to you, Travis. You know, Bruce, when that last caller was talking about the heels, just then you made the comment about the authority, and I know you said that in passing, but to me, I think that's the key point. Like, the authority suck all the heat out of anyone that could possibly be a top heel. The other thing I think that you have to remember with heels to be effective in this era, I remember listening to an interview with JBL where he said that when he was a heel, he made a point of not having any merchandise made of him. And when you got Seth Rollins on Twitter, who's retweeting fans showing their support of him, I mean, that takes it away too. So in my opinion, if you're going to be a heel, you're just going to have to realize you have to go all in and not have so much merchandise made of you so fans don't show their support. And thirdly,
you know, let me talk about that. I want to talk about that. That's a really interesting point. And I would definitely say get off of social media, not even to say heelish things, because why would a heel care about what some fan thought? The heel's goal is to make money by winning championships. and to eliminate people that are in his way that he can't beat up, that he's not good enough to beat. So why would he be on social media in the first place? And then the other, but if someone wants to buy his T-shirt, I think the reality of the business is you need to sell your merchandise. And it used to be that heels that fans hated split some merchandise money. Now, merchandise was more photos at a table than T-shirts. It wasn't that great. But in a lot of territories, the heel and the babyface would split their merchandise because the heel knew, and the babyface, he was smart, knew that the heel was a big part of getting him over where he could sell all those photos and sell whatever, you know, 45 single that he had braid into some studio somewhere, some recording studio somewhere. But the reality of it now, a heel should be like Nick Bockwinkel in that when Nick Bockwinkel had his fan club, his official, his official reaction was, I'm doing nothing to help you, I'm doing nothing for you, and he would insult them. But on the other hand, you know, just let them wear the T-shirts, just don't pander to it. You know, if they want to buy a T-shirt, if they want to cheer, you don't care what they do. You have contempt for – you show contempt for them on that. Now, in today's society, and, you know, frankly, I was like this too. I liked a heel that, like, had contempt for the fans. I liked a heel that, I would cheer for that. But it doesn't matter. I'd buy a ticket to see it is the biggest point of it. And then, you know, don't spend – I think WWE has spent too much time talking about let's go Cena sucks and then just let it happen. I'm sorry to hijack you there for a second.
But Bruce, you raise a really good point because it's all right for me to say that, but the reality is a lot of these guys do make their extra money through merchandise sales. So as you said, it's that real fine balancing act. But it just makes it hard to generate that heat. And the third point I was going to raise in relation to that was just match these guys up against opponents which the fans are all in on and the strategic. Like for example, you're trying to build a top heel in Kevin Owens, you put him up against Ryback. There's a very wishy-washy character, 50-50 reactions sometimes, some fans like him, some don't. That's not going to help Ryback or Kevin Owens. But the main point that I was calling up about was last week I said to you that I thought the match I'd like to see at WrestleMania would be Rock versus Batista, and you guys sort of, you weren't too keen on that. I just wanted to give my reasons as to why. In relation to that, I just think that with Rock and Batista, I almost feel like... the headline in the major website report on Hollywood, it almost writes itself. You know, like, say, from the big screen to the big ring, WWE's most successful wrestlers turn actors, set to square off in front of 100,000 people. Say something like that, right? That automatically...
You know what? You are right about that. And one of the things you want, big concept, just like in the movies, big concept matches and ideas. That is a strength of that. There's something to be said for that. I still have all my caveats. I think Travis definitely has his weaknesses with this match. But yeah, that you've got a point there.
And the reason behind it is I think you can tell a great story. Batista comes out, introduced by the Authority, says he's been successful in spite of the fans. They let him down. This Rock left. Rock comes out. He's representing the people. Now, as far as the match is concerned, to me, it's formulaic. It's an 8 to 10 minute match that ends with The Rock giving The Rock Bottom and the people's elbow. And the beauty of it is, I'll tell you, go one further, put the match on first. While the crowd's electric, first guy that comes out is The Rock. They're ready to go. Batista comes out. Match is over in 10 minutes. Now let's get on with the rest of the show, featuring the regular talent. But I just think it's a way for the casual fan in. Rock versus Batista, the two big movie stars. I can't think of anything else they have at the moment.
Yeah, problem is my understanding this week since that call is Rock, it's pretty, the odds of Rock wrestling now are just not there. And I don't know what Batista's movie schedule is or where he stands, but I think it's pretty busy too. So we'll see. They need something. And they need something high concept like you're talking about. Appreciate the phone call. I hope your morning is good. And Travis, appreciate the co-hosting and the callers and interesting show. I encourage folks to pwtorch.com/govip. Bruce Mitchell or pwtorch.com/govip. Travis Bryan is your code. and to get in. Way Keller and I had a very interesting conversation about Charlotte and WWE and Coward, and hopefully folks will listen to that. Travis, have a good evening. This is Livecast.